Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 40, to Mr. H., Savannah, June 10, 1738. Dear Sir, about 5 weeks I have been at Savannah, where Providence seems to intend continuing me for some time. God has graciously visited me with a fit of sickness, but now I am lively as a young eagle. All things have happened better than expectation. America is not so horrid a place as it is represented to be. The heat of the weather, lying on the ground, and etc., are mere painted lines in the way, into a soul filled with a divine love, not worth mentioning. The country, mornings and evenings, is exceeding pleasant, and there are uncommon improvements made, considering the indifferency of the soil in divers places. With a little assistance, the country people would do very well. As for my ministerial office, I can inform you that God, such is his goodness, sets his seal to it here as at other places. We have an excellent Christian school, and near 100 constantly attend at evening prayers. The people receive me gladly, as yet, into their houses, and seem to be most kindly affected towards me. I have a pretty little family, and find it possible to manage a house without distraction. Provisions we do not want to feed on, though we are cut off from all occasions to pamper our bodies. Blessed be God, I visit from house to house, catechism, read prayers twice and expound the 2 second lessons every day, read to a house full of people 3 times a week, expound the 2 lessons at 5 in the morning, read prayers and preach twice and expound the catechism to servants, etc., at 7 in the evening every Sunday. What I have most at heart is the building an orphan house, which I trust will be effected at my return to England. In the meanwhile, I am setting little schools in and about Savannah, that the rising generation may be bred up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lord prosper my weak endeavors for promoting his glory and his people's good. Oh, dear Mr. H., pray for me, for I do, indeed I do, pray for you and yours. Remember me to dear Mrs. H., and exhort her to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Remind Mr. W., since he will not hearken, to me to work out his salvation with fear and trembling, and beg him to pray for, though he will not write to, dear Mr. H. Ever, ever yours, G.W. End of Letter 40. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 41. To Mr. Kilrush, Ireland, November 16, 1738. Dear Mr., I have not forgotten you, and as a proof of it, send you this to acquaint you of my safe arrival here. I know you will rejoice and give thanks, and pray that my coming to London may be in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of peace. God has done for me more abundantly than I could dare ask or think. The seed of the glorious gospel has taken root in the American ground, and I hope will grow up into a great tree. By my friends' prayers, I believe it hath been planted. Oh, that they may continue to water it with the same means, and then our great God will give it an effectual increase. I hope to see you in a few days at my old lodgings, and to rejoice with you for what God has done for our souls. Indeed, I have felt his power. I have tasted and known of the truth that the Lord is gracious. America, infant Georgia, is an excellent soil for Christianity. You cannot live there without taking up a daily cross. Therefore, I shall hasten back as soon as possible after Christmas. Oh, that in the meanwhile, I may be enabled to be instant in season and out of season, and preach with demonstration of the Spirit and with power. Methinks I see Mr. lifting up his eyes towards heaven and silently saying, Amen. I hope you will excuse Mr. D.'s letter. I have forgot his house, though not his person and his love. know all your kindnesses, all my friends, are engraven upon my heart and I trust will never be forgotten by, dear sir, your affectionate friend and humble servant, G.W. End of letter 41. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 42, to Mr. H., London, December 30th, 1738. My dear friend, I am appointed by the trustees to be minister of Savannah. The Bishop of London, Dr. Gibson, accepts the title and has given me letters demonstrated to any other bishop. I have waited also on Dr. Seeker, Bishop of Oxford, who acquaints me that our worthy diocesan good Bishop Benson ordains for him tomorrow fortnight at Oxford, and that he will give me letters demonstrated to him. God be praised. I was praying night and day, whilst on shipboard, if it might be the divine will, the good Bishop Benson, who laid hands on me as a deacon, might now make me a priest. And now my prayer is answered. Be pleased to wait on his lordship and desire him to inform you when I must be at Oxford in order to receive his position of hands. Oh, pray that I may be duly prepared. It will be a month before I can see Gloucester. I long to see you. I love you and yours in the bowels of Jesus Christ. But I have scarce time to subscribe myself, dear sirs, yours eternally, G.W. End of letter 42. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 43, to the same, London, January 27th, 1739. Dear sir, if I forget Mr. H. and his wife, may my right hand forget her cunning. Excess of business alone was the cause of my silence. I sleep but little, very little. Had I 1,000 hands, I could employ them all. I scarce know what it is to have an idle moment. It is late now. I have just been expounding. God fills me with the Spirit, and I must redeem a little time to write to dear Mr. H. Indeed, indeed, I love you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Oh, when shall I return your past favors? I thank you for blessing God on my behalf. I want 1,000 tongues to praise him. He still works by me more and more. Subscriptions for erecting an orphan house come in apace. On Monday, 7 night, God willing, I set out for Bristol with Mr. Stewart, and from thence propose coming to Gloucester. Oh, that it may be in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of peace. Mr. Howard Harris and I are correspondents, blessed be God. May I follow him as he does Jesus Christ. How he outstrips me. Fie upon me, fie upon me. That's about F-Y-E. How does my brother? My love to him and all. I long to see you and yours, and give you repeated assurances of my being, dear sir, yours eternally, G.W. End of letter 43. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 44. To the Mr. Baskin-Stokes, February 8, 1739. Dear sir, though I desired you to write first, yet the love I bear you will not suffer me to wait so long before you hear from me. Just now has God brought us to Baskin-Stoke, where I hope an effectual door will be opened before we leave it, as well as at Windsor. Oh, my dear friend, more and more do I see the benefit of confessing our blessed Lord before men. You have not been ashamed of the cross. No, dear mister, has put his hand to the plow. He will not, surely he cannot look back. But Jesus Christ alone can keep me and my dear friend from falling. He has begun, and he will carry on. He will finish the good work in our souls. We have nothing to do but to lay hold on him by faith and to depend on him for wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Not but we must be workers together with him, for our true faith in Jesus Christ will not suffer us to be idle. No, it is an active, lively, restless principle. It fills the heart so that it cannot be easy till it is doing something for Jesus Christ. Methinks I hear my dear friend crying out, Lord, evermore give me this faith. Believe me, I hardly say amen. Ask then, my dear sir, and it shall be given you. Seek and strive for it. And yet a little while, and I shall see you a new creature. Your heart, I hope, is somewhat broken already. All praise to God's free grace in Christ. Go on, my dear friend, and never cease till you know you are Christ, by the Spirit that shall be given you. Never fear your carnal friends and renounce them and everything else that stands in competition with your duty to God. What have we to do to know anyone after the flesh? Let him who doth the will of our Father in heaven be our brother, our sister, our mother. For this reason I subscribe myself, dear sir, your most affectionately in Christ, G.W. End of letter 44. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 45, to Mr. H. Oxon, April 24th, 1739. Dear Mr. H., blessed be God for working upon your heart by my ministry. I hope the wished for time will come when I shall see you full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Copies may be taken of my letter, but I would not have it printed, because I intend, when retired from the world, to make some discourses on the subject of free grace. Pray acquaint your mother that I intercede for her solemnly last night. I besought God that she might have her Savior revealed in her heart. That is the only way to get above the fears of death. Christ in us is the hope of glory. I rejoice to hear Mr. Cole builds you up in your most holy faith. I exhort you to go on, and who knows but dear Mr. H. May, under God, keep up religion in Glasgow. Mr. Kinchin's conduct in fearing the church and giving up the parsonage has sadly grieved the spirit of many good souls here, but I bless God, they are now a little comforted. Oh, dear Mr. H., my heart is drawn towards London most strangely. Perhaps you may hear of your friend's imprisonment. I expect no other preferment. God grant I may behave so, that when I suffer, it may not be for my own imprudences, but for righteousness' sake. And then I am sure the Spirit of Christ and of glory will rest upon my soul. My dear Mr. H., I beseech you, break off from the world. Shake off every feather that keeps your soul from God, and then how will it rejoice the heart of, dear sir, yours eternally, G.W. End of letter 45. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 46, to the same. London, April 27, 1739. Dear Mr. H., I rejoice to hear of the affection of my countrymen. It is a good sign that the word has taken deep root in their hearts. But above all, do I rejoice that dear Mr. H. is truly sensible of the free grace of God in Christ. Now, my dear friend, you will begin to be a Christian indeed. Blessed be God, I hear my honored M. is becoming a fool for Christ's sake. I do not despair of Mr. W., nay, I cannot despair of anyone, when I consider what I once was myself. Let but God speak the word, and the work shall be done. I always hope well of opposers. Today, my master, by his providence and spirit, compelled me to preach in the churchyard at Effington. Tomorrow, I am to repeat that mad trick, and on Sunday, to go out into Moore's Field. The word of the Lord runs and is glorified. People's hearts seem quite broken. God strengthened me exceedingly. I preach till I sweat through and through. All is well at Savannah. Brave news from Gibraltar. Innumerable blessings does God pour down upon me. Oh, that I had a thankful heart. I love you both sincerely, and I thank you both heartily. I salute all our dear friends most affectionately, and am, dear sir, ever, ever yours, G.W. End of letter number 46. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter number 47, to the same. London, May 10th, 1739. Dear Mr. H., the hour for my imprisonment is not yet come. I am not fit as yet to be so highly honored. God only knows the treachery of my heart, but amidst all my late success, I have scarce felt one self-complacent thought. I speak this to the honor of God's free grace. In about 3 weeks, God willing, we embark for Pennsylvania. The trustees have granted to me land and everything upon my own terms. The officers in general are exceedingly kind to my friend Habersham upon my account, so that all things succeed beyond my expectations. I am sorry to hear of Mr. W.'s conduct, poor man. The love of money is rooted in his heart. Where is the honesty he so much boasts of and relies on? Does not this more and more convince you that nothing but true faith in Jesus Christ will enable you to act aright? However, he is not to be envied. I pity him. Money thus got will never prosper. I rejoice that you and your spouse are content. I wish you both may have Jesus Christ formed in your hearts, and am ever yours, etc. G.W. End of Letter 47. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 48. To London, June 12, 1739. My dear brethren in Christ, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, and therefore write to you this second letter. I find more and more that Satan has desired to have some of you in particular, that he may sift you as wheat, and will strive, if possible, to divide and separate you all. I hear there is a woman among you who pretends to the spirit of prophecy, and what is more unaccountable, I hear that brother, whom I love in the bowels of Jesus Christ, seems to approve of her. Need, therefore, great need have you, my brethren, at this time to take the apostles' advice and to try the spirits, whether they be of God. For the devil is beginning to mimic God's work, and because terrors will not do, he is now transforming himself into an angel of light in order more effectively to gain his point. Brother, also, I cannot but think, as present, is under a spirit of delusion. He, as well as brother, I believe, imagines there will be a power given to work miracles, and that now Christ is coming to reign 1,000 years upon the earth. But alas, what need is there of miracles, such as healing sick bodies and restoring sight to the blind eyes, when we see greater miracles every day done by the power of God's word? Do not the spiritually blind now see? Are not the spiritually dead now raised? The leper's souls now cleansed, and have not the poor the gospel preached unto them? And if we have the thing already, what such miracles were only intended to introduce, why should we tempt God in requiring further signs? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And as for our Lord's coming at this time to reign upon the earth, I answer, it is not for us to know the times and seasons which the Lord hath put in his own power. That a great work is begun is evident. That it will be carried on, I doubt not. But how it will end, I know not, neither do I desire to know. It is sufficient for me to do the work of the day in its day, and to rest satisfied in this, that all will end in God's glory. Lately, brother, told me he was shortly, he believed, to be called to some public work. I pray God he will not run before he is called. To teach, I know, is a pleasant thing, but to begin to teach too soon and without a commission will be destructive to ourselves and of ill consequence to others. Ezra might mean well when he touched the ark, but his good intention did not preserve him from the just judgments of God. Be not many masters, says the apostle. Oh, that verse was deeply engraven on the tables of our hearts. My dear brethren, be not offended at the plainness of speech. I would all the Lord's servants were prophets, but then I would not have people think themselves prophets of the Lord when they are only enthusiasts. If Mr. is acted by a good spirit, why is he not patient of reproof? Why does he fly in a passion when contradicted? Why does he pretend to be infallible and that God always speaks in him? May God give us all a right judgment in all things. Pure unfeigned love causes me to use this freedom. Many of you has worked upon by my ministry, and therefore I would not have you ignorant of Satan's devices. I will beware of him at this time. Do not conceive prejudices against each other. Do not dispute, but love. Purge out the old leaven from among you. Have no fellowship with any that converse with Mr. If they have a mind to depart from you, let them depart. Do you build up each other in your most holy faith? My dear brother, I am your common servant and our dear Lord Jesus. G.W. End of Letter 48. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 49. To the Reverend Mr. Leach Black, July 18, 1739. Dear Sir, This scene this morning much affected me. You both put me in mind how that happy pair Adam and Eve looked when arranged by the Almighty after having eaten the forbidden fruit. Behold, the same remedy reached out to you as to them. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Look up to him whom you have pierced. He will heal your backslidings and love you freely. Had he not loved you both of you are now would have been given over to a reprobate mind. I know the time when you both were enlightened, when you tasted the good word of God and felt the powers of the world to come. Honor, falsely so-called, has caused you to draw back, but I believe not into perdition. Jesus is still striving in your heart. Come to me by faith, renounce the world, and he will give yet delight to honor you. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Mention not old things, let all things become new. I love both of you from my heart. Come forth and be ye separate, saith the Lord Almighty. Break with the world at once, and ye shall become fools for Christ's sake. What if your wife sent some such letter as the following to her parents? Honored father and mother, the contents of your letter will surprise you, but I can no longer halt between God and the world. The happy convictions that God once put into my heart now arise in my mind, and I will no longer be an almost Christian. I am resolved to become a fool for Christ's sake. Blessed be God, Mr. M. is like-minded. Hitherto have I hindered him in his spiritual progress. God forbid I should do it any longer. Henceforward will we go hand in hand together and naked follow a naked Christ. Dearest Mr., I am ever yours, G.W. End of letter 49, having been read by Peter John Perseus. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 50, London, July 23rd, 1739. Dear Madam, your letter filled me with joy and with pity. Pity to see you tempted. Joy to find you are thought worthy of enduring temptation. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But be not afraid. Jesus Christ is praying for you, and your faith shall not fail. Your Master hath been in the wilderness before you, and knows by experience how to succor those that are tempted. Lift up then the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. Infidel books have poisoned your understanding and riveted great pride therein. Strong temptations are necessary to mortify that pride and to teach you that lowliness of heart which our Lord calls all that are weary and heavy laden to learn of him. Look up then to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He will send you help in every time of need. Indeed, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Follow him as the poor Syrophoenician woman did, and though he may now turn away his face seemingly for a while, yet he will always support you inwardly by a living faith, and shortly give you the spirit of adoption, whereby you will be enabled to cry, Abba Father. I speak this by happy experience. I have mourned, but now I am comforted. I have gone through the spirit of bondage, and forever be adoring God's free grace. He has given me the spirit of adoption. And that you also will have this in God's due time and way is the firm belief of your unworthy brother and servant in Christ, G.W. End of Letter 50. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 51, London, July 23rd, 1739. Dear Mr. H., I wish you joy of your newborn son. Oh, that it may be made a real child of God. I purpose, God willing, to stand to my promise either in person or by proxy. I know not yet how Providence will be pleased to dispose of me. I have written to the Lords of the Admiralty for a license. Saturday evening next, I hope you will see Mr. Charles Wesley. He intends to preach at Glasgow, Randwick, etc. Pray desire Mr. Cole and our other dear friends to appoint places. Matters go on most bravely here. I think people are 10 times more affected than ever. The audience is full and numerous, and they give their mites for Orphan House with a cheerful and ready heart. Have you heard how I preached upon the stage among the crucial players at Basking Stroke and got a blow? Both I and my companions were also turned out of our inn and in danger of being beaten heartily. Blessed be God. My sermon comes out on Wednesday. Heartiest love to dear Mrs. H. That Jesus Christ may be fully formed in both your hearts is the prayer of ever, ever yours, G.W. End of letter 51. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 52. London, July 24th, 1739. Honored Sir, though but a child in grace and a novice in the things of God, yet I could not escape this opportunity of showing you how dear you are to my soul. Though unknown in person, yet you have long since been known to me in spirit. I hope to have seen you ere I left London. I hasted up to town hoping to have some spiritual gift imparted to me by that means, but I was not worthy of it. I was not prepared for such a blessing. You went before I came. A great work of God is doing here. The Lord Jesus gets himself the victory every day. Free grace compels poor sinners to come in. Oh, brother, can inform you of particulars. As for my own soul, God mightily strengthens me in the inward man and gives me often such foretaste of his love that I am almost continually wishing to be dissolved that I may be with Christ. But I am only beginning to be a Christian. I must suffer also as well as do for my dear master. Perhaps a storm is gathering. I believe God will permit it to fall on my head first. This comes then, honored sir, to desire your prayers that none of those things may move me and that I may not count even my life dear unto me, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Though I die for him, yet I beseech you, honored sir, to pray that I may not in any way deny him. But what am I doing? I fear, honored sir, I am too free. A sense of your humility and love for the blessed Jesus makes me thus open. How should I rejoice? If you would honor me with a line, I am young, and therefore a word of exhortation and advice would much profit, honored sir. Your very humble servant and our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter 52. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter Number 53, London, July 25th, 1739. Dear Sir, not a want of love, but of time, has obliged me to shorten my last letters. Had I 100 hands, I could employ them all. The harvest is very great. I am ashamed I can do no more for him. Who hath done so much for me? Not by way of retaliation, but gratitude. Fain would I love my master, and will not go from him. His service is perfect freedom. His yoke is easy, his burden light. Still, he is pleased to show us greater things. Every day affords fresh instances of the power of his word. I am now about to attack Satan in one of his strongholds, if I perish. Tonight I preach, God willing, where a horse race is to be. I find my master strengthens me for the work. O dear sir, pray for me that my faith fail not, and that my zeal be tempered with knowledge. Our brother will prove an agreeable correspondent. If business prevents my writing, he will inform you what happens from time to time, too, dear sir. Your most affectionate in Christ Jesus, G.W. End of letter 53. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 54, London, July 26, 1739. Reverend Sir, just now I received your kind letter, and am endeavoring to catch a few moments to answer it. I thank you for your encouraging hints. Oh, dear sir, continue to exhort and provoke me to love and to good works, that I may with patience run the race that is set before me. Hitherto my dear master magnifies his strength in my weakness. Ever since he honored me to suffer a little reproach for his name's sake, at basking stroke he has caused me to rejoice with exceeding a great joy. My spirit was stirred within me. Methinks I could willingly have died to have borne my testimony against the lying vanities and devilish entertainments of this generation. By the help of my master I will go on and attack the devil in his strongest holds. O pray, dear sir, that my zeal may always tempered with true Christian prudence. It would grieve me should I bring sufferings causelessly upon myself. A trying time, perhaps, is at hand. Oh, that I may be found faithful. If Providence permits, I will perform my promise. I am blind. I am a child. I know nothing. I only desire the whole will of God may be done in, by, and upon, dear sir, your unworthy brother and fellow laborer in our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter 54. Having been read by Peter John Parisius.